The reading is taken from Daniel 2:49 and Daniel 3:8-29. Today we focus on three men who put their life on the line to witness faithfully to God. Daniel 2:49. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. Daniel 3:8-29. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command, and yielded up their bodies, rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks against anything that is of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We're in a sermon series that looks at leaders from the Old and New Testaments who come in all sizes, all shapes, and all colors. But let's check out three of them because they're a trio. They come together as one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they came out of the furnace, the king didn't know who saved them, nor even know about Jesus, who rescued us from our sins and from eternal flames. What can we learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about courage in the face of persecution? Let's look at what they say to the king when they choose not to walk away from our God. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. Now that's courage when faced by death, but they trusted in God, and they and God make the majority. We are not alone. Jesus said, when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what you are to say. Just say what God tells you to at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with us. Jesus said of the Spirit, he leads us into all the truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, also known as their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, put their trust in God, not knowing what would happen in the fiery furnace. But the king knew because he could see the angel of God standing with them and protecting them. It so impressed him that he made the decree, if any people whatsoever, their race, nation, or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. We see their faith in action, putting their trust in God when there was nowhere else to turn. And they were not about to sell out the God of their salvation. What they did made a difference. Making faith your lifeline is acting like these three leaders in the faith. It is being sold out for Jesus. Knowing God's word means is the place to start. You already have favorite passages. If I ask around what would be your favorite passage, you probably would say, or what's a passage in the Bible that you know? There may be several that you know. And there are songs that we sing that are based on biblical text that make those scriptures easy to remember, like from Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's a song and also scripture just right out of the Bible. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus from the book of Romans. That's a song. And so you can remember scripture through music or in ways that your lives are touched in a way that moves your heart, that you know this is not just an accident, that God is reaching out through his Holy Spirit and touching you. But you can expand your knowledge of God's word so he can use it to help you and to support you and to encourage you. to care for you and challenge you when you need to be challenged. The same goes for prayer. You can pray scripture like many of the Psalms, for example, by you putting the Psalm in the second person. The second half of the 23rd Psalm is already that way. But the first part you could say, for example, "You, Lord, are my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul." You can pray on the whole armor of God, as I shared with the young people here from Ephesians 6, asking him to help you to speak the truth in love, to share his peace, to do what's right in his sight, to stay in the word and in prayer, remembering we are saved by grace and not by works. That, of course, is the helmet of salvation. You don't have to use those words. You can use whatever you want to pray on the whole armor, but it's something that I've used every morning of my life in ministry the last 45 years. The helmet guards your head and your mind. And in this day, there are so many things that you hear in the media and so forth that attack our values. Ask the Lord, for example, to help you to love him more. Have you ever thought about doing that in prayer, asking the Lord to help you to love him more? After all, Jesus said, the two greatest commandments, the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and a second like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So we can pray that we might love the Lord more when we come to him. Begin by asking yourself next, what gets in the way of your following Jesus in your life? What kind of an evangelist are you with your children and your grandchildren? If you don't lead them to Jesus, the world will lead them away from Jesus. Both our words and our actions matter. One author said it this way: words aren't just optional when sharing the gospel, they're fundamental. That's because the gospel is good news. It's not just a way of life, it's also a message about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on behalf of all who believe. It's not a list of do's, thanks to Jesus, it's a list of done's. That's why if you call yourself a Christian, spreading the word about the cross and the empty tomb isn't optional. Christianity is a missionary faith, and our music has long reflected that. Think of the classical hymns like "Onward Christian Soldiers" we'll be singing later today. "How beauteous are the feet, bringing in the sheaves," and so forth. They all celebrate the work of gospel ministry and call God's people to action. Somewhere along the way, though, we stopped singing so much about evangelism. Ironically, many of the songs used in evangelical churches today have a more of a therapeutic emphasis, and much preaching centers on showing people the gospel within our own lives and not as an outreach. Now, don't get me wrong. Our relationship to Jesus Christ is personal, and one of our most powerful testimonies is a life lived in obedience to him. But that's not the same thing as preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel. Before he ascended to his Father, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. These are his last words, and so they're really important. Evangelism isn't just one part of our calling. It is central to our calling. Remember in Matthew 9, Jesus told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few." And today, more than ever, it's true. Worldwide, Christianity is growing at a rate rivaled only by Islam. According to Lifeway Research, 78% of non-churchgoers expressed a willingness to listen, quote, "if someone wanted to tell me what she or believed about Christianity." And get this, young people are even more open to hearing the message. So this is the time. Our church supports missionaries overseas or here at home, but they don't take our place. We can partner with them in their ministry and learn from them, but we are all called to be missionaries in our daily lives. And so until the Lord returns, it is an unfinished task. Twyla Paris, who's one of my favorite contemporary songwriters and singers, really writes a lot about evangelism and witness. She's a spokesperson for Youth with a Mission. She's written many songs that show a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mentality. One is called "The Warrior is a Child." The first verse in the chorus goes like this: "Lately I've been winning battles left and right, but even winners can get wounded in the fight. People say that I'm amazing, I'm strong beyond my years, but they don't see inside of me, I'm hiding all the tears. They don't know that I come running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while, or look up for his smile. Because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. We are warriors, children of the Most High God, and we should never apologize for that. We live in a world that has been walking away from God and is more and more hostile to Christian faith. Persecution is life and death in the Middle East for Christians as well as in Muslim strongholds like the Philippines. Persecution in our country is from a hostile secular society, groups like Americans Against Religion, which had a problem with a Christian sign or a religious sign down in Hondo, Texas. Little town of Hondo, Texas. They wanted to make a big issue of that. Another group is called the Freedom from Religion group. And they take activist positions to look for people to attack. We can ignore it or realize what Jesus said is very timely. Work while it is day before that night comes when no one can work. We can spur each other on with encouragement and prayer and with the help of the Holy Spirit. When a Delta airline passenger went into cardiac arrest on a plane, Tim Tebow, a professional pro ball player, stepped in to pray for him. But many are saying he did the wrong thing. The Delta crew immediately went to work to try to save that passenger's life after he suffered this major heart attack. And there was a physician assistant present on the plane that stepped in to administer CPR. But as they were doing this, he didn't get in their way. He simply left his seat and went over to pray for the man. He bent over the man's distraught wife, hugging and praying with her and her friend. When the plane landed, the man was rushed to the hospital. Tebow took the stricken man's wife to the hospital and stayed with her until she got the devastating news that her husband died from the attack. One of the passengers on board posted about the experience on Facebook. He said, and I quote, "I watched Tim pray with the entire section of the plane for this man. He made a stand for God in a difficult situation." But many do not share the same sentiment. Even though Tebow prayed with the man's wife, took her to the hospital, stayed with her until the doctor told them the sad news, many criticize him for praying in public. Quote, "Tim Tebow was getting in the way while trying to be a missionary on a plane. What a putz," said one commentator in the Orlando Sentinel. "Prayed," another person said, "give me a break. Get out of the way and let modern medicine take care of the sick, idiot." Another wrote that he was being selfish by praying for the man's wife. Quote, "Tim Tebow did nothing because prayer does nothing. The young medical professional who attempted CPR and actually tried to save the man's life actually did something. What Tebow did was engage in a narcissistic ritual," said a commentator on a People magazine blog. A lot of people don't appreciate the fact that we pray and trust and have faith in the Lord. Many say the negative comments show firsthand the problems of living in a culture that is increasingly becoming more antagonistic to Christianity. Tim Tebow did what any caring person would or should do, one commentator fired back. He provided what the family needed most at the time, someone to show compassion and caring. This last week, the state of Iowa decided that sermons have to pass their scrutiny. They have to pass tests, or the pastors can't preach them or they go to jail. The article begins, "Two churches in Iowa are challenging a state law that would censor churches from expressing biblical views on sexuality and gender identity, even from the pulpit." They can't even read the Bible about these things. Fort Des Moines Church of Christ filed a federal lawsuit against the Iowa Civil Rights Commission on Monday, arguing that the agency's interpretation of the Iowa Civil Rights Act prohibits church members from making public comments that could be viewed as unwelcome to people with gender identity issues. The lawsuit comes after the Civil Rights Commission released a brochure titled "Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, a Public Accommodations Provider Guide to Iowa's Law." The publication says that churches are public accommodations and therefore generally subject to the Civil Rights Act of Iowa. You know, Jesus has given us a task, and that is to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Are you ready to live for Jesus each day? We cannot do it on our own. God will give us strength and guidance, but you must supply the courage like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Know God's word and follow Jesus' lead. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.